Sends blessings, everyone. And we're going to start out with our first worship song, There's Not a Friend. And the next one will be Sing Hallelujah to the Lord.
If you can kneel, let's do so. It's time to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for blessing us with your presence. Thank you for changing the showbread, forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness. Father, we pray for the latter rain. We pray for faith, discernment, and wisdom, all that we need to glorify you. Let us go forth in this loud cry and bless us with the words that will cut hearts. And thank you for watering the seeds that we plant and giving us many opportunities to do so. Again, we lift up all those that are on our prayer list. We pray you bless them and keep them, that strong hedge of angels about them, and especially keep them safe as they do the work. And thank you for giving us all that we need to do all that you call us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Okay. I got to get my notes up here. Oh, wait, let me put that on the server. Okay. Oh. I got an announcement to make. I don't want to forget this. Not next week, but the week after. Next week, brother, what? Nine people fell out? Oh, man. All right, let me knock down the bandwidth a little bit here. Okay, that should... It'll give us a little book. Okay, hold on a second. Can you hear me? All right. I've never seen that happen before. I actually lost the server connection while I was trying to knock down the bits, the kilobits. It's doing it again. Hold on. Seems to be working now. I've never seen that happen before. All right. So we lost a few people. I'm sure they'll come back in, hopefully. I've never seen that happen before. Okay. No doubt the enemy's souls. Yeah, I'm going to wait for Bonnie to get back in. All right, I knocked the kilobits down to 11. Let's give Bonnie a minute. We got a few people that have got to come back in. We got like four or five families missing right now. So. Yeah, please keep this in your prayers. We need a new chat room. Flash-based or Java-based, either way. Yeah, just before the announcement, too. No, we need to get the people in here so we can do the announcement and so. So I don't know what's going on why they're not coming back. We only got up to 48 families. We usually have a problem around 50. Oh, there goes Rob. He just fell out. Yeah, there are people that are falling out. Looks like the enemy of souls is doing something here. We just lost. Now we're down. We're missing eight families now. Those of you listening on the radio, thank you for having patience. And those listening on the phone and those listening to this recording in the future, because I don't want to stop the recording. I don't want to stop the recording because then you miss all the music and all the prayers and stuff. And Lee just fell out. Everybody's coming back in. Let's see. I'll let them see how we can get them all to come back in. Keep praying, Kara. Thank you. Yeah, I know. Usually Bonnie doesn't fall out during a church service. We're up to 44, 45. We only need three more families. Unless they're jumping on the radio, but I don't see them. I don't see it going up on the radio there. There was 48 families. Yeah, we're at 45 right now. 46. Primarily just got back in. Now, if it was on my end, if it was my T1, then we would definitely have a bunch of issues. Everybody would be falling out. All right? Yep. Actually, two more to go. Lee, there's Lee. Welcome back, little girl. So, is the sound quality okay? Because I got it down to 11 kilobits. It's okay? It's okay. All right. I know it probably sounds like I'm lisping on the radio. Well, the radio just jumped up a couple. Yeah, we got two more families jumping on the radio, so we might not get them in here. We got 47 families in here, so whoever's missing in here, they jumped over there, so that's fine. Okay. All right, the announcement is this. I'll watch everybody fall out again. Oh, look, we got 48. Okay, praise the Lord. Welcome back, Brother Goran. Next week, Brother Rob is preaching, and the week after that, we're going to have a question and answer Sabbath. No sermon. You know, we're going to have the regular Sabbath, you know, study, but we're going to have a question and answer thing. So if you have any questions, and please, I just sent an email out about this earlier, because some people are sending questions about the Trinity or the Godhead. We won't be discussing that, okay? Not that I'm trying to get anybody upset. Please understand that we've gone over that. We've beaten that horse to death. In other words, all these strange doctrines that are floating around. The Godhead is a mystery unto its own, yes, but we do understand what we understand. And rather than to keep going over and over and over and over again in that area, we have agreed as a church family about 2 or 3 years ago to no longer talk about the Trinity or the Godhead in this room, unless it's actually a sermon topic. All right, so, and the reason being is because there's still going to be questions. And we went on, we had a couple of POGM events and everything about that, about the Godhead. So please, if you got questions, we won't be discussing the Godhead. I'll just send you a link to my Trinity page, which exposes the Trinity as a Roman lie and all the other things. And I'll also, it links out to a bunch of other pages that I have on the same subject about why they preach one God. And there's also a link that goes out to Brother Rob's site at lightministries.com that has more information about the Trinity there too. So, but any questions that you have, please send them to us an email. That doesn't mean you can't ask questions during the church service. If it's a drawn-out question that we got to do a study on and give you an answer back, well, then we'll just tell you. We'll have to get back to you on that. But if you got some heavy-duty, meaty subjects that you'd like to have covered, and hopefully we can do this in one day, then we'll do that on Sabbath. But if you have something, send me an email, send Rob an email, or send Bonnie an email. It'll get to us. And so, because me and Rob are going to try to do this. You know, we're going to do like a tag team thing like we used to do on Fire Talk about 10 years ago when we first met. We used to do these sermons, and then after the sermon, everybody would ask us questions. He'd field the floor for half. I'd get the other half. And so we did that. So, yes. Yeah, thanks, Bonnie. So send your emails now this week. This week. That gives me and Rob a whole week to work on this if, in fact, we're going to need to. All right? Because next week, at the end of next week, is when Rob's preaching. So in this week, please get us your emails, and then in 2 weeks from now, we'll have the ability to answer your questions, if we can. Whew. Okay, got that. All right, so welcome back, everybody. Sabbath blessings. All right. Anyway, let me just knock off this note. There, it's gone. And I apologize for those of you that are listening to this recording in the future, all this stuff that you had to listen to, but I just don't like breaking the recordings because with this software, if you break it, you'll lose the whole thing. You got to start the whole thing from scratch. That's another reason to get rid of this chat software. All right. Okay, oops, hold on a second here. Something messed up. There we go. All right, Revelation 18, verse 4. All right. Oops. Hold on, having a little issue here on the screen. Okay. In the book of Revelation 18, verse 4, it says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues." Now, since we know the plagues are the last thing to hit before the second coming, we can be assured the fourth angel's message, warning of those plagues, is most assuredly part of the loud cry. Looking back in Revelation 14, we see after the three angels' message, or the three angels' messages. Oh. Okay, hold on a second. We already prayed. We already prayed, Brother Rob, so you must have fallen out when we were praying. So we've already prayed. All right, now I'm going to try to keep my eyes off the text chat here. So, all right. So let me start with Revelation 18:4 again. In the book of Revelation, verse four of chapter 18, it says, "And I heard another voice from heaven." Okay. Now, Revelation 18:4, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, that you be not partaker of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues.'" Since we know the plagues of Revelation are the last thing that we're going to hit before the coming, you know, the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we can be assured that the fourth angel's message is in fact warning, the last warning that more or less coincides with the loud cry. I'm sorry. I'm getting these issues here again on the screen. And so looking back on Revelation 14, we see that after the three angels' messages are outlined, another angel comes forward with a loud cry that is directly connected with the harvest of the souls on earth. The reason the voice declares to come out of her is because of all the other passages in the Word that declare staying in is to join with her in sin, and in so doing they become worthy of God's wrath. I mean, Isaiah 58 verse 1 says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression in the house of Jacob their sins." Revelation 14 verse 18 says, "And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, 'Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe.'" And then Sister White says in Bible Commentary, Volume 4, I believe page 1184, "God has jewels in all the churches, and it is not for us to make sweeping denunciation of the professed religious world." This is why the Lord still calls them my people in Revelation 18, verse 4. The loud cry we are called to carry forth will affect them when it is spoken within earshot. So speak it we must. We cannot judge the book by its cover. We must share this present truth, and the Lord will make sure those that hear or that need to hear it are going to hear it, no matter what church they're in. It really doesn't. They could be Muslims, for all we know. Seriously. Sister White says in Volume 6, Testimonies Volume 6, page 70 and 71, she says, "The Lord has his representatives in all churches. These persons have not had the special testing truths for these last days presented to them under circumstances that brought conviction to heart and mind. Therefore, they have not, by rejecting light, severed their connection with God." And I love the way she says this. I mean, because, in other words, even though they are in the Babylonian churches, or any church for that matter, they have not been preached by those that would have taught error on certain subjects. And therefore, they haven't been tempted to accept them as truth. I mean, praise the Lord that most Babylonian churches out there don't understand or even preach prophecy. Even the Seventh-day Adventist Church stopped that. Yeah. But some that do preach prophecy, and again, the Seventh-day Adventist Church does do this in some areas, some conservative Seventh-day Adventist churches do preach some prophecy. But so far, most of the people that come within our church, when they hear the messages that we preach, they say, "Look, they never teach this in the church we were at." Well, that's why you left. And but when they preach it in the SDA churches, all the other churches for that matter, they do so in a way that is filled with grievous errors, and their flock is tempted to believe them simply because they are taught to trust their leaders. Many of these are very difficult to reach, these people, as they reject the truth of our loving Father intended for them. But the ones that Sister White is mentioning here have not rejected the truth on this simply because it has not been shared with them yet. And so I want to still praise the Lord for that, because it's good that they're cold. These jewels are ready and waiting for the Lord to move them into action, and they can be found in any church on earth. For example, Sister White also says, continuing on in, now I'm in Testimonies Volume 9, page 243, she says, "Among the Catholics, there are many who are most conscientious Christians, and who walk in all the light that shines upon them, and God will work in their behalf. And then she says in Great Controversy, page 390, notwithstanding the spiritual doctrines and alienation from God that exist in their churches, which constitute Babylon, the great body of Christ's true followers are still found, are still to be found in their communion. Now, this is not to say that they're going to be working from there, proclaiming the truth from their pulpits. No. They're in there, and when they hear the truth we have to share, as Revelation 18 says, they come out of her, because they are his people. So, as we know, we are only judged by the light we're given, or the light we understand. What she says here reminds me of my being a Catholic, where I simply didn't know of certain prophetic facts because the church I was in didn't teach it at all. I literally had to buy Catholic books from Catholic authors to try to figure out who Antichrist was, or anything in prophecy, because I was into prophecy even as a young man, and I was reading these Catholic books, and the thing that got me was none of these priests seemed to agree with each other. It was just really a ball of confusion. But when I came across these truths on my own, outside the church, or just going into the Bible at first, it was planted deeply in fertile soil, because that soil was never touched by the lies of man yet. So therefore, I wasn't tempted to believe in some strange things. Yes, I did read some of these Catholic authors and stuff like that that had all these strange ideas about prophecy, but none of it coincided with the scriptures. So I still wasn't tempted, because none of it made any sense what they were saying. It didn't line up with the scriptures. It wasn't found in the Word. When I opened up the Word is when I started getting blessed with, you know, and the fertile soil was getting seeded. And this is exactly what Sister White means when she talks about those in the wicked churches that have yet to hear the truths we preach. We truly cannot judge them for being Catholic, Baptist, SDA, or even Muslim, because some of them may never have heard what we have to share. And so they have never had the opportunity to accept or reject it. So, again, speak it we must. As prophecy-understanding Christians, we understand that Babylon is doing all it can to infect the Christians of the world to believe in counterfeit doctrines so as to assure them a place in hell because of their acceptance of a lie over the truth. We also see how false prophecies, as the seven-year trib or the secret rapture, even the thousand years of peace, are purposely designed to not only make our job that much more difficult in sharing the truth about such things, it also tends those studying such things to accept that lie and reject the truth out of sheer analytical exhaustion. I mean, they don't want to have to go through all their research all over again. In other words, they did all the research they did in like late great planet Earth, or they listen to Schofield's gap theories, or they go around all these weird theological falderal. And they did all this work for years and years and years, and they finally come across the truth as we preach it, and they don't even, too much analyzing. I've had it. I'm exhausted. And they give up. Still, even with all that happening on a daily basis, Babylon has yet to make all nations drunk on her strange doctrines. When speaking of Babylon, Sister White says in Great Controversy, page 389 and 390, she says, not yet. However, can it be said that she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication? She has not yet made all nations do this. Not until this condition shall be reached and the union of church with the world shall be fully accomplished through Christendom will the fall of Babylon be complete. The change is a progressive one, and the perfect fulfillment of Revelation 14, verse 8 is yet future. Now, some may say that the 501c3 fulfills this prophecy here, and it does appear to do just that, because in order to get the 501c3, one must literally join their church with the state, or the world, as prophecy calls it. But this can't be the finalization of such a prophecy, because the beast must also lift up her spurious Sabbath as universally supreme. Therefore, when all the Christian churches do this, and this includes the SDA church, then yes, that prophecy will be fulfilled. Yes, the 501c3 is a major step to that end, because not only is the church embraced the world in this act, they also had the presidential seal upon their ability to lobby law as of March 7, 2006. So that gradual procession that she's talking about, what does she call it here? I think she said the change is a progressive one. Well, this is what's happening. This is what the 501c3 is all about. Still, does inspiration agree with that statement? Well, in volume 8 of Testimonies, page 94, she says, she made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, Revelation 14, verses 6 to 8 again. But how is it done? By forcing men to accept a spurious Sabbath. And then she says, Signs of the Times, June 12, 1893, When do her sins reach unto heaven? Revelation 18, verses 2 to 5. When the law of God is finally made void by the legislation. Now, since this is known among those that study prophecy and trust Ellen White's prophetic statements, how can Satan further confuse the issue so as to prevent those that know of these events? Well, he merely flip-flops them in their sermons, their videos, their books, and their tracts. What I mean is, in the last few years, there has been a movement among certain Seventh-day Adventist preachers and pastors to proclaim that the Sunday laws come first and then the loud cry. With that theology, they can twist the truth to make it appear it's safe to relax as long as the Sunday laws aren't passed. That tempts them into slumber when they should be out there preaching the three angels' message. In Last Day Events, page 83, it says, all are to hear the last message of warning. The prophecies in the book of Revelation, chapters 12 to 18, are being fulfilled. In the 18th chapter is recorded the very last call to the churches. This call is now to be given. Still, some may twist this around with many other statements so as to make it appear this isn't speaking of a loud cry. That being the case, Ellen White also gave us basic outline of events to come for this loud cry in such a way no man can refute. She says in the Spirit of Prophecy, volume 4, page 424 to 425, she says, the sins of Babylon will be laid open. The fearful, and this is literally being laid open now. I mean, not only are we seeing Babylon in all the churches, there's a young man that's starting to do some work with Craig out there in the Philippines, and he's starting to make these videos. And what he's got is these videos, all he's doing is he's showing videos from inside a Seventh-day Adventist church. And they're not necessarily from the Philippines, because none of these people look Filipino, okay? And they're embracing Ash Wednesday in this one where they're doing this weird music with these dark colored candles, and the one guy that's doing the music has the whole sides of his head are shaved and he's got dreadlocks going down like a mohawk all the way down the back. And then in the next video, they're singing Christmas songs and they're singing these top 40 hits from the 60s and 70s about worshiping each other, like, you know, you love the girl so much you're worshiping the door and all that. And so Babylon, I mean, the sins of Babylon is going to be laid open. So we know this is why the bulk of the people that are coming to within our number are leaving the SDA church as well as all the other churches, because the sins of Babylon will be laid open. And so it's obvious now. And then she says, the fearful results of a union of church and state, the inroads of spiritualism, the stealthy but rapid progress of the papal power, all will be unmasked. Well, now we got the 501c3, the inroads of spiritualism. Of course, Harry Potter has been sanctioned by the Vatican itself, so now that's got a really big boost to go forward. And the rapid progress of the papal power, it's like amazingly unmasked when you look at what's going on in D.C. that reflects exactly what Rome wants done. And then she says, by these solemn warnings, the people will be stirred. Thousands upon thousands have never listened to the words like these. In amazement, they hear the testimony that Babylon is the church, fallen because of her errors and sins, because of her rejection of the truth sent to her from heaven. The people go to their former teachers with the eager inquiry, are these things so? The ministers present fables, prophesying smooth things to soothe out their fears and quiet the awakened conscience, but many refuse to be satisfied with the mere authority of men and demand a plain, thus saith the Lord. The popular ministry, like the Pharisees of old, are filled with anger as their authority is questioned. They denounce the message as of Satan and stir up the sin-loving multitudes to revile and persecute those who proclaim it. Okay, how many of us have been getting threats and evil emails and spammers from Seventh-day Adventists? Because the people are, and Catholics as well. I mean, I left the Catholic Church 27 years ago this month, or 26 years ago this month. And so I got my fair share of all the hate mail and the death threats from them. Now I'm starting to get the hate mail and threats, but not death threats yet. But I am getting some threats from SDAs. One of them actually sent one to my home address, addressed to one of my sons. And it's because of the question. They really hate having their authorities questioned. And so they go after the people that proclaim it. Well, praise God. It proves that what we're doing is true. It's what prophecy says was going to happen. So yes, this is happening right now. And then she goes on, she says, as the controversy extends into new fields and the minds of the people are called to God's downtrodden law, Satan is astir. The power of attending the message only maddens those who oppose it. The clergy put forth almost superhuman efforts to shut away the light, lest it should shine upon their flocks. by every means at their command, they endeavor to suppress the discussion of these vital questions. And that's everything from sending viruses and the mass emails we've gotten recently. And that's why we have that little note in the text or in the chat room when you come in. Please, if you're going to send out a mass email, contact me or Bonnie, and we'll let you know. Well, don't send out mass emails anyway, but because that's dangerous to begin with, because some people can hack into them and find out every person you're sending it to and cause a problem for that day forward. But if you're going to get in an email conversation, let us know, because we know where these attacks are coming from. I'm not going to mention any names on the air, because I'm not going to let them think that they've been found out, because the Lord knows. That's plenty good right there. So the Lord's watching what they're doing. So, but anyway, by every means, they endeavor to suppress the discussion of these vital questions. She says the church appeals to the strong arm of civil power. Now, that is fulfilled in the fact that they can appeal now. As of March 7, 2006, they have the ability to lobby law, or is it March 6, 2007? It's one of the two. I get the two dates mixed up. But they literally have the ability now to lobby law. That is, all 501c3 churches are now considered government agencies. That's what George W. Bush said. I didn't say it. He wrote it down, not me, okay? And he's the one that signed it into law. So that's his wording. They are government agents now. That right there should tell you, get out of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. As well as all the other churches and ministries, you know, like Amazing Discoveries or Amazing Facts, too, or Kenneth Cox or Mark Finley. All the Seventh-day Adventists are 3ABN. They're all government agents now, by law. There's no way around it now. They are literally, and they have to do what the government demands, or they lose their 501c3. Well, some say, okay, we'll give it up. Well, no, it's not that easy. If you've been a 501c3 for 20 years and you decide to give it up, they want all the back taxes, all the excise taxes and penalty taxes, and that could amount to millions. And anything you bought during that time that you got the 501c3, you have to give to the IRS so they can sell it and get the money off of that too. So they ain't going to give that up. Talk to the brother that owns 3ABN. He'll tell you. He decided to turn around and walk out and said he'll keep his 501c3 when they told him that. So the church, she says, appeals to the strong arm of the civil power, and in this work, papists are solicited to come to the help of the Protestants. The movement of Sunday, or the movement for Sunday enforcement, becomes more bold and decided. The law is invoked against commandment keepers. So there you have it, right there in the Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 4, page 424 to 425, that those preachers on like YouTube, like Forerunner 777, there's a couple other SDA preachers on YouTube, that literally, and I have shown them this quote, and they, instead of removing it from their videos or removing it from their pulpits, they remove me from their subscription list and then ban me from commenting on their, and that's what Forerunner did, and, as well as others. I know others have done it too. But right there, Sister White says, they've got it flip-flopped. Sunday laws don't come first. The loud cry comes first. Never before in the history of mankind has this fulfillment been possible other than today. But now with the 501c3 pastors affirming their union with church and state as a reality, we can see like never before the method by which the prophecy is going to be fulfilled. The loud cry started long ago, the three angels' message as its foundation. As it grew louder and louder over the years, the powers that be became more and more crafty in their ways to try to stop it. That's why Lyndon Johnson did what he did in 1954 with the 501c3. The reality here is the loud cry is what actually brings on the Sunday laws, not the other way around. But with the YouTube or the SDA preachers and the thousands of SDA pastors flip-flopping that fact, the only reason so many are falling for it is because they aren't trimming their lamps with the study of the Word of God, as do the five wise virgins. They prefer rather to trim their lamps with the study of what the man on the pulpit is saying. Revelation 18, verses 1 to 4 says plainly, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with its glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, the cage of every hateful woman, or every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundancy of her delicacies." And you can look at that with the politicians, of course. If you're connected with Rome, you're a millionaire or billionaire. And then finally, it says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and you receive not her plagues." Sister White says in Early Writings, page 277, paragraph 1, "The message of the fall of Babylon, as given by the second angel, is repeated. with the additional mention of the corruptions which have been entering the churches since 1844. The work of this angel comes in at the right time to join in the last great work of the third angel's message as it swells to a loud cry. And the people of God are thus prepared to stand in the hour of temptation, which they are soon to meet. So in other words, we, you know, are soon to meet this stuff, okay? And she says, I saw a great light resting upon them, and they united to fearlessly proclaim the third angel's message. The fact she says this message we preach today is not only to repeat that which was shared since 1844. Along with it, we are to preach the corruptions we have seen on a daily basis in the church. She says that. Additional mention of the corruptions which are entering in the churches since 1844. That's pretty blunt. The SDA church has been proven to be so overwhelmingly corrupt that this church alone proves this prophetic statement of hers is fulfilled. The very fact we have so many, as a matter of fact, I think I should put this on my Is She a Prophet page. So I'm going to highlight this. Because what she says here is actually happening with the SDA church. They are so corrupt, we're actually going forth preaching the three angels' message on top of exposing what's going on in the SDA church. It's part of the present truth because it helped, you know, the people get out. So again, the very fact that we have so many families joining us now that for worship on Sabbath day that are ex-FDA proves the Lord's Holy Spirit is in fact moving the hearts of his people to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, and not as the hirelings are leading. Not only is the truth of Babylon falling, swelling to a loud cry, so is the obvious love for God and his law swelling to a loud cry in the hearts of his remnant people. That's right. Your faith alone, brothers and sisters, proves this prophecy has been fulfilled. Now that has to make your heart leap for joy. I know it makes mine happy. I mean, you know, so amen. So I mean, she goes on to say that, paragraph two, angels were sent to aid the mighty angel from heaven, and I heard voices which seemed to sound everywhere. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. This message seemed to be an addition to the third message, joining it as the midnight cry joined the second angel's message in 1844. The glory of God rested upon the patient, waiting faith, and they fearlessly gave the last solemn warning, proclaiming the fall of Babylon and calling upon God's people to come out of her that they might escape her fearful doom. This is why some people question me, and like the pictures I got yesterday or the day before yesterday from that preacher down in Georgia. He finally sent me the pictures of him standing on the street corner and his wife standing on the street corner. And even his granddaughter, who looks to be about 7 or 8 years old, standing on the street corner, handing out DVDs with a big sign next to them that says, Antichrist Identified. Free DVD here. The people are going out fearlessly, and as many of you are doing now too, passing out the tracks and the DVDs as well. And that's, I'm sure you guys get the questions like I get, aren't you afraid that they're going to kill you? I says, no. I mean, I do trust my Lord, and even if I am allowed to be killed, hey, I get to take a nap. She goes on to say that the light that was shed upon the waiting ones penetrated everywhere, and those in the churches who had any light, who had not heard and rejected the three messages, obeyed the call and left the fallen churches. So there you have it again. She says, thanks to the fact that these fallen churches no longer preach prophecy, many in these churches have never heard this message that we preach, and therefore they're never tempted to reject it. That's why it's so easy to stand on a street corner. When we preach this message, the people that hear it are blessed of God because the light they have thus far received was already near and dear to them. We're talking about real Christians. Okay? This is when there's like maybe 100 people might drive by you and maybe 2 or 3 of them will be real Christians that have a desire to please God in every way they possibly can. And when you hand them some truth and they read it, it affects them because they truly do have a light that they're running with. The rest of them, nah, they're just plastic Christians. They say they're Christians to take away their shame, as Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 4:1. She says, this new light, oh no, wait, this, let me get, right. Let's see, it's page 278. We're on now. Oh, and by the way, when they do this, the churches will empty. You know, when the people, like, as we're doing now, like when we go forth and do this, the churches are going to empty, and which in turn causes the 501c3 pastor to lobby after those laws to try and stop the truth because their money is now being threatened. So this is the main reason for the Sunday laws. It's okay. Spiritually speaking, it's because the truth we proclaim exposes Satan and the lies and the liars of his cohorts that are standing on pulpits. Okay. The other toss of the coin is how he gets them to move to action is their worship of the dollar bill or the Amero, whatever's happening at that time. And they're seeing that their livelihood is threatened. And so that's what moves them to the law. She goes on to say that in early writings here, page 278, many had come to years of accountability since these messages had been given, and the light shone upon them, and they were privileged to choose life or death. Some chose life and took their stand with those who were looking for their Lord and keeping all his commandments. The third message was to do its work, where all were to be tested upon it, and the precious ones were to be called out from the religious bodies. A compelling power moved the honest, while the manifestation of the power of God brought a fear and restraint upon their unbelieving relatives and friends so that they dared not. Neither had they the power to hinder those who felt the work of the Spirit of God upon them. And that's why, I praise God for this, because I saw, because everybody knows I'm one of 11 kids, and out of the 11 children that my parents had, let's see, 2, 3, 4. 4 of us came out of the Catholic Church. That includes myself, okay? And out of the 4 that came out of the Catholic Church, I'm the only one that stayed out. The other ones went back in. Now, they went back in, not literally into Catholic churches, but they went back into churches that are embraced with the One World Church. Well, so they in other words, they just changed locations of where they worship. They didn't change theology, you know? So, because all the churches are doing, like, you know, in other words, today, most of our relatives do attempt to move us back into Babylon. My wife and I saw this happen to a few of my siblings, like I was just saying, and friends over the last few decades. And I praise the Lord that even their most fervent and multiple attempts couldn't move my wife and I back into the church. My point here is this. They're going to try, and they're going to try really, really hard. However, when the cry gets very loud and the signs start to follow God's people, you're going to notice that those around you that do not believe it won't even dare to try and stop what you're doing. This, too, we have witnessed, because they give up. This is why it spreads so quickly, and this is why they're going to do what they can to try and shut us up. Sister White goes on to say that the last call was carried even to the poor slaves, and the pious among them poured forth their songs of rapturous joy at the prospect of their happy deliverance. Their masters could not check them. Fear and astonishment kept them silent. Mighty miracles were wrought. The sick were healed. And signs and wonders followed the believers. God was in this work. And every saint, fearless of consequences, followed the convictions of his own conscience and united with those who were keeping all the commandments of God, and with power, they sounded abroad the third message. I saw that this message will close with power and strength far exceeding the midnight cry. Now, as we know, many think the loud cry and the three angels' messages are two different messages. But when you look at the message and the end result of accepting it, you see a life change and a faith bolstered by the Lord simply because it pleases him to see his child obey him. When I came out of Babylon decades ago, almost immediately I was able to understand Scripture better. And as the days, the months, and the years went by, more and more meat of the Scripture was opened onto me, and faith grew stronger and stronger. Coming out of Babylon is an act that not only blesses the soul for obeying the Lord thy God, it blesses the faith as well. Take, for example, what happened in 1888 when the SDA Church rejected justification by faith. They opened themselves up to all sorts of deceptions that led them to their Babylonian state of today. It says in Testimonies of the Ministers 91 and 92, it says, the Lord in his great mercy sent a most precious message to his people through elders E.J. Wagoner and A.T. Jones. This message was to bring more prominently before the world, the uplifted Savior, the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. It presented justification through faith in the surety. It invited the people to receive the righteousness of Christ, which is made manifest in obedience to all commandments, all the commandments of God. Many had lost sight of Jesus. They needed to have their eyes directed to his divine person, his merits, and his changeless love for the human family. All power is given into his hands that he may dispense rich gifts unto men, imparting the priceless gift of his own righteousness to the helpless human agent. This is the message that God commanded to be given to the world. It is the third angel's message, which is to be proclaimed with a loud voice and attended with the outpouring of the Spirit in a large measure. And then in Testimonies, volume 6, page 19, she says, the message of Christ's righteousness is to sound from one end of the earth to the other to prepare the way of the Lord. This is the glory of God, which closes the work of the third angel. And then Christ Object Lessons, page 415 and 16, it says, the last message of mercy to be given to the world is a revelation of his character of love. The children of God are to manifest his glory. In their own life and character, they are to reveal what the grace of God has done for them. And then Selected Messages, volume 1, page 372, it says, several have written to me inquiring if the message of justification by faith is the third angel's message, and I have answered, it is the third angel's message, in verity, or in fact. When we came out of Babylon, we not only became strangers to the world, we became peculiar to many that once called us brethren. As we walk closer to Christ, our character illustrates the blessing for coming out of Babylon. Not only did we come out of these fallen churches, we came out of their belief structure. This is why we look peculiar to them. To the Sunday keeper especially, we look peculiar because we keep Sabbath. That act alone proclaims they too must come out. Our walk in and of itself is the third angel's cry, as well as our voice being used of God in the message. Truth is, this truth we bear in character and voice will do its intended work, just as the Lord prophesied it would, and there is nothing any man can do to try to stop it. The other toss of the coin on this is that because we walk this walk and talk this talk, we will be blessed even more in the days ahead so as to see God glorified before all of mankind. Wisdom is granted to all his obedient children. This is why when we came out of the fallen churches, the scriptures opened up unto us. Job says in 28:28, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. The latter rain will fall upon us more abundantly, and all will have all the evidence they need to accept or reject that which we preach. In Bible Commentary, volume 7, page 984, it says, as the third message swells to a loud cry, and as great power and glory attend the closing work, the faithful people of God will partake of that glory. It is the latter rain, which revives and strengthens them to pass through the time of trouble. And Selected Messages, volume 3, page 407, she says, as the end approaches, the testimony of God's servants will become more decided and more powerful. And then volume 7 of the same book, or Bible Commentaries, rather, volume 7, page 980, it says, the message, which is Revelation 14, verses 9 to 12, embraces the two preceding messages. It is represented as being given with a loud voice, that is, with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then in volume 7 of Testimonies, page 17, she says, as the third angel's message swells into a loud cry, great glory, rather, great power. Hold on. I didn't realize that this. Sorry about that beeping. But she says, as the third angel's message swells into a loud cry, great power and glory will attend its proclamation. The faces of God's people will shine with the light of heaven. As the remnant people, the banner we hold high is to strive on to that perfection. If we are serious about the walk we are professed or prophesied to do, or profess to do, then we're going to have our Lord's approval upon us at all times. This truth we proclaim is exceedingly bright and exceedingly powerful. In Education, page 166, it says, amidst the deepening shadows of Earth's last great crisis, God's light will shine brightest, and the song of hope and trust will be heard in the clearest and loftiest strains. And then volume 8 of the Testimonies, page 118, she says, as foretold in the 18th of Revelation, the third angel's message is to be proclaimed with great power by those who give the final warning against the beast and his image. So, I mean, now do you see why the message we proclaim is impossible to hold back? And this is why people stand up with this fearless desire in their hearts to go forward and have that courage that other people just can't understand. I mean, ever wonder why you do so with a courage you never thought existed before? Even though some people hate you, and even though some actually threaten you, our hearts still burn so brightly with a desire to warn the perishing souls, we simply cannot be muzzled, like Jeremiah couldn't be muzzled. Better yet, this very same courage and strong desire to see our Father smile is noticed by our God, and we're going to be blessed even more the stronger for it. It's going to be a loud cry, and it will do its intended work because the Creator himself attends to it with every child that has accepted him as the perfect Lord. Sister White says in volume, in Testimonies volume 5, page 252, she says, the power which stirred the people so mightily in 1844 movement will again be revealed. I love hearing that because our work is, we're going to finally see some of the fruits of our labors. We're literally going to see it. She says, the third angel's message will go forth, not in whispering tones, but with a loud voice. And then she says in early writings, page 278, I saw that this message will close with a power and strength far exceeding the midnight cry. And so it will. Hope and pray you were blessed by what you heard this Sabbath day. Do we have music? Amen. That was beautiful. What is the name of that song? What's the name of that song? Amen. Was I choppy at all? I just noticed I'm on the DSL for the sermon. Was I choppy? No? A little? Sound was good here? No here, no there, no here. Oh, man. That's, again, I forget that stupid DSL line. But it was perfect there. I hope it was perfect on my little laptop. That way it won't come through. Okay. All right. Well, that is my newest, that song that is my new favorite song for piano music. That is really pretty. I just wish I was on the T1 where I could hear it better. So if you can kneel, please do so. We're gonna close out in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your truth. Thank you for getting us ready in our hearts so that we can go forth and do this work, this loud cry. And thank you for letting the signs follow your people. And Father, when it comes time to flee, please don't let it be in winter or on Sabbath day. And thank you for keeping us all safe throughout this week, blessing us where we need to be blessed. And thank you for giving us those tools that we need to go forth and to proclaim the message around our areas, or even the entire country, if it be your will. And Father, there are many souls that need to be baptized. Please give us the means by which we can do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen.